oppression cease. Let every dark assignment bow down at Jesus' feet. Let every curse be broken. Let every storm be tamed. And all that come against us be bound in Jesus' name. Your presence is my greatest weapon, pushing back the darkness, breaking every chain. My worship opens up the heavens, crushing every stronghold when I speak your name. 'Cause your presence is my weapon. Your presence is my weapon. Your strength will not be shaken. Your love will not back down. Death has been defeated. What can stop us now? Hold on to what you've spoken. And you said that I am free. You've given me your promise. And you are my victory. Yeah. Your presence is my greatest weapon. Pushing back the darkness. Breaking every chain.
Everybody okay tonight? Yeah,
troubles come. Why would I not worship forever? 'Cause I've seen the good you've done. Am I ashamed of a sinner saved? No, I'm not afraid anymore. When the world comes foolish, you come freedom. Now I won't hold back anymore. I've got joy. I couldn't come all the way from England without bringing this flag. I want to read something from Isaiah 61, is that okay? This is fun, isn't it? Yeah, man. Oh, here it comes the joy. The spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. And there is freedom, freedom for the captives. Oh, oh, that's why we need the joy. And there's a crown of beauty instead of the ashes.
there's a garment of praise, and there's a crown of beauty all for my ashes. Here comes the oil for my sadness. Here comes the oil. Oh, I got the joy. Oh, I got the joy. I got the joy.
Hallelujah. Yes, God, we have joy in our hearts today, Lord, because we are here to celebrate you and to celebrate all the answers to our prayers, Lord. We are here to give you all the glory due to your name for all the wonderful things that you have done for us and that you continue to do. We're not going to be like those nine who you healed that never even came back to say thank you, God. This week, we are going to take the time to tell you how much we appreciate everything that you have done for us. And I just pray that you will pour out an anointing to remember all the beautiful details for all the wonderful things that you have done for us, Lord. We don't want to miss anything. We want to share about all the great things that you have done, that you're continuing to do. And we know that with this, Lord, we're even going to, even though we're giving you glory, we're going to be strengthened by these testimonies. We're going to be encouraged by these testimonies. We're going to be able to say that you are still doing it. And it gives us such a moment to just focus on you. And realize that if you can do it for someone else, you can do the same thing for us, Lord. We are here to focus on you and to glorify you, God. We always ask. We're always asking. But I don't think we really come back enough just to say thank you for the small, for the big, for the wide, for the large blessings, for the blessings that we have had to that we got in 2 seconds, and those that we had to pray over for months, and some that even took years to come to pass, Lord. We are so grateful, Lord, for how you answer our prayers, Lord. And we're looking forward to hearing how you're answering the prayers, Lord, and how you're doing things all around the world. We are here to glorify you this week, Lord, in for everything that you are. And I'm sure in all of these testimonies, we will see your name loudly proclaimed as El Shaddai, as Jehovah Rapha, as Jehovah Jireh, Lord God, as the God who is our banner, who just flies above us, Lord, the one who protects us. You are going to be in all of these stories, Lord, somewhere. Your name will be glorified in these stories, God. And I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity. I thank you that we're willing to take out the six days that we got here just to tell you how much we love you, Lord, and to show our appreciation by sharing with others what you've done for us. We just ask that you will bless this time. Holy Spirit, just hover on this place, Lord, and just sit back in your big fluffy chair in heaven and enjoy these praises, Lord, from your children. I just ask that you would just open the heavens over us, Lord, and just receive the praise. Receive the glory due your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. All right. So the first person I'm going to ask to share is Judith. Judith, go ahead and share with us your testimonies.
Okay, hi.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, my name is Judith, and I live in Texas, and I'm originally from Freetown, Sierra Leone. And the testimony I would like to share is one, like I said, I nearly lost my handbag at Brussels Airport, traveling to Freetown in June. The Lord wanted me, I first want to thank the Lord for what he has done for me, my family, and his protection, and his grace, his mercy, his love, and the way he has made me experience him within these 8 years in a way that no one can make me see how powerful and great he is and his capability in things that I have been unable to do. So I give him all the glory and all the praise and his presence and nearness and support that he has given to me and my family. So I was supposed to go to my mom's country because of what the Lord has put in charge of me to do that I wasn't able to do the first time that I went there. So whatever spiritual problem I was going through, I wasn't able to detect that. So in June, my husband says, okay, let's go to Africa. We've traveled a lot of places, but not Africa. Let's go to your country. And I didn't want to go. I didn't feel like I want to go there. I was having a lot of problem with them. So I didn't want to go to be reminded of anything. So thank God, due to the Holy Spirit, I obeyed, I cooperated, and then he got tickets for us, and we went as a family summer vacation. Got tickets, got accommodation, everything. So we traveled from Texas to Chicago, and then Chicago to Brussels. Then from Brussels was going to be to Freetown. Everything was fine, the flight, everything was on time. But on the way to me and my daughter went to use the bathroom. But in Brussels, the way they put their knob for you to hang your bag when you want to use your bag, use the bathroom, it's not behind the door, it's on the wall. So I placed my bag there and I used the bathroom. I guess too early, wake up in the morning, I just rushed, used the bathroom, went out, washed my hand, and then exited the bathroom. So, but I was outside of the entrance of the women's bathroom with my daughter, waiting for my son and my husband to return back from theirs. And then while I was standing there waiting for them, and I have this thought, like, go buy a toothbrush to brush your teeth. And I'm like, I don't think I want to. I will skip if I have to. I'll get chewing gum or something like that. And then I ignored. I'm standing there. And then the thought came again, go get toothbrush to brush your teeth. And I look around, I said, these stores don't look like they have toothbrush here. These are more like chocolates and breakfast stuff. We're in the wrong area. So my husband came and I said, you know, fine. I said, I want to go buy toothbrush to brush my teeth. Then I was like, oh, does anybody know where a handbag is? And then I realized, oh my goodness, I think I left my handbag in the bathroom. And then my daughter said, yeah, when I exited, I saw this girl was looking through a black bag out there on the entrance, so go check and see. So I rushed in quickly and I saw him. I said, oh, that's my handbag. Please give me back. Thank you. So he gave it to me and I thanked him so much. And I exited and my husband said, check inside, make sure everything is in there. And in the handbag were our passports, the vaccination cards, our hotel accommodation, and everything else, including cash for the country and cash for the entire time we're there at the hotel for food and everything. So if I had lost that, that would have been it. I was like so shocked, so happy, so thrilled, so excited. I was so overwhelmed. I said, Lord, I said, why did this bag want to be missing and to be lost? I'm like, giving God the glory. I was shocked. I was speechless. I was standing walking like a zombie, just thinking what could have just happened to us there at the airport. And I give him the glory. I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for protecting me. Me and my family covering. You knew this was going to happen. That's why you made me forget my toothbrush so that I could look for my bag and get it and not lose it. So we got it, and we went to Africa. Everything went well. You know, while we're there as well, I come to realize why that bag wants to be, the enemy wanted that to be lost was that there was a lot of things I was supposed to go collect in my mother's house, such as my brother and I don't get along that much. I'm praying in the long run we will. We don't see eye and eye when it comes to God. So the house was a mess. There were cockroaches, rats, everything there, a mess. So I have to go in to go look after, I have to rebuild everything with that cash that was in that was supposed to go collect errors that he did. He made like a septic tanks outside, but he didn't dig for them to bury it inside. It was on the open, on the surface, and this can be unhygienic. And they were getting sick a lot. Every time I called, they're sick. Every time I'm called, they're sick. And the house was left a filth. They were not taking care of the place at all. So I was supposed to go there to go remind them once more to take care, to clean the place and look after my mom, who's like 66. She's very old and, you know, fragile at that age. So with all of that, it needs money for you to get someone to come repair the house, the windows, and then get that place dug to dig again and bury those pipes. It was not easy. For the entire time I was there, it was raining and raining and raining, but the Lord will stop the rain and get the people to come to work and get the work done. Every time something to be done, the Lord will stop the rain and then get the work done. So the money was needed for that to be done, because when they know you come from America, people are willing to come and work and do whatever you need to be done. So the enemy was targeting for that money to get missing so that we could not get it done. And then most importantly as well, like in the house, I did not know that my mom's partner was in an occultic society. Secret society. It was when I was cleaning inside of the house, removing pictures and all the stuff, and I realized he had these things, and while he's dead, that was still there. And so the Lord had led me a long time ago to go and remove all of this stuff. So I burned everything, his books, anything that resembled him, and anything old and past. So it was done, and a lot of things were collected before I left. So I give God the glory to allow that to happen, that I was able to go and make the house clean again and get my mom up and ready and, you know, feeding her the right way and giving her medication. And while I was there as well, again, give God the glory, my medication, the malaria meds I was supposed to take for the 33 days or so I was there, got finished before time. So I was now for the remaining 2 weeks without no medication. And I said, Lord, you know me, you made me. I surrender myself to you, and I pray for you to protect me and keep me safe. And he did. For the entire 2 weeks while I was there and I returned home, I did not get sick, nor any mosquito bite me at all, because he provided electricity power every night and the fan was on. So that helped me to come home safe and sound. And lastly, was my husband went to Germany recently, that I want to give God the praise. He went to go to work, but he's German, so he wanted to be part of the Oktoberfest. And nearby, the place he wanted to have the Oktoberfest with his friends after work or so to go hang out, they found in a house nearby, they had bombs there ready to, because the tents, they said the tents were so huge, and they're like about 1.2 million people or so normally that fit in that tent a day, people just drinking and boozing. So they had a plan to explode that place within that day. But thanks and praise be to God leading me to pray and worship him, and that thing was detected before any harm was done. So he came home safe and sound. So this is the testimony I want to share with everybody out there, whoever is facing and going through stuff like that, to see the wonders and the mighty of God and to be able to listen to his voice when he's auctioning, you know, telling you to listen to song. Within that song, there's scripture. Within that song, there is in praising you already because of what about to happen. Well, you will not be able to do it when that happens. So I give him the glory, and I'm happy to be under the tent of all his children to do the same thing that I've not had time to do this. I've not given testimony for a very long time because I'm so overwhelmed, and I'm glad, and I praise and bless you for what you're doing to enable me to do this right now, because the enemy has shut my mouth for too long in so many ways. This is a very good blessing for me right now. I'm so thankful, and that is the goodness of God, how we care for his children, and he will make a way no matter what. So thank you and God bless you. And this is my testimony. I hope it helps somebody out there.
Amen. Amen and amen. And now we're going to hear from Alma.
Hi, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. It's 2 a.m. here. If I sound like 2 a.m., don't worry. First of all, Nicole, thank you for giving us a platform to share. I'll be honest, I've been saying that I'll send in my testimony every month. I'm like, I need to send in to encourage people. But I believe that it was kept so that I can share at such a time as this. I also want to acknowledge that my sister is online as well. She does part of the praying and fasting. Well, I saw her name. Yeah, she's still here. And she always does the prayer and fasting that we do every January. So thank you, Nicole, and God bless you. And I hope my testimony blesses and encourages everyone. And I'd also like to say that maybe not a testimony. I'd just like to first of all thank God that every day I learn about the power. When people say, the finished power, the finished work on the cross, I learn it every day as I do spiritual warfare. And I just want to thank God that He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins, because it is a finished work. And every time I do warfare, maybe it's only making sense to me, but every time I do warfare, I realize that each and every single time. So I'd like to share my testimony. I'd like to thank God for what He has done. It's been a journey. It has been warfare. But my first testimony, I want to start with this January when the MOP fast was called. And I also call Nicole MOP. So my sister and I call you MOP. So when MOP was teaching us on divorce and repayment. So if you guys remember, it was to divorce, whether it was a habit, whatever it was that you were to divorce and demand a sevenfold repayment. And then you were to ask your prayer request. MOP asked us to do it, for a whole day and divorce everything. And I remember I divorced everything. It took some time. I had to even look up the kind of repayments that I would be demanding for, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I got two instant divorces, if I can put it like that. I got two instant divorces. So the first instant divorce that had a physical manifestation was that I divorced lower back pain. And this was a back pain that was new to me. It came around 2023. I had not had it, but I'd noticed things were creeping up as I was in my late 30s, that things were just sort of like coming on. So I'd never had lower back pain. All of a sudden, I had lower back pain. I feel like I need to stretch myself out, especially when I'm waking up in the morning. So when I divorced the lower back pain, the next morning when I woke up, I didn't feel any dull ache or pain, which was strange because I'd been feeling it for 2 years. And then when I fully got up and I stood up, I didn't need to stretch out my back. And so it was gone. But I'll be honest with you, it's almost like I couldn't believe it. So what I did is I said, no, let me give this some time. I'm not exactly sure. Let me give it some time. Maybe it's just today I'm not feeling it. But by faith, I was believing it. But at the same time, I was like, let me give it some time. You guys, I've not had lower back pain for 10 months from the time I divorced it until now. I've not had any lower back pain. Sometimes I'd sit and I'd feel, you just feel that lower back pain. It was something I was not used to, but I was getting used to. I've not had it for 10 months. It's been gone completely, completely, completely. And that was an instant divorce. And so I praise Jehovah Rapha for healing me, because that was Jehovah Rapha. Once I divorced it and asked it, He healed me. And so that's the first testimony. The second testimony is that I divorced many things. And so the instant divorce that I also got was that I had something called tinnitus. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. First of all, actually, I wanted to say I'm from Nairobi, Kenya. I didn't introduce myself properly, but I've born and raised and live in Nairobi, Kenya, which is in East Africa, for those guys who don't know the geography. So anyway, just because of different pronunciations, but I had tinnitus, which also came in 2023, and it's not like it's something that came upon me instantly. I'd been listening to loud music ever since I was younger. My family had told me not to, and then I started to get a buzzing ear, a buzzing sound in my ear, especially at night. So when I'm sleeping, or when I'm just about to go to sleep, there's a buzz in my ear. It's like a buzz, especially in my right ear. It's very irritating. And it's only after a few months when I Googled it did I realize it's tinnitus. It's usually caused by various things, especially listening to loud music for very long time, or people who are musicians, etc., etc. So when the January 1st came about, that's one of the things that was on my list to divorce. So when I divorced it the next night, so that morning my back wasn't paining, but when I went to sleep that night, the buzz was very dull. It was distant. It's still in my ear, but it's very distant in my ear, very, very distant. And I thought, wow. So in one day, the lower back pain is gone, and now this is very dull. So what happened is it didn't go immediately like the lower back pain the next night, because it usually occurs at night, or you hear it at night. Maybe it's there in the day, but I guess when you're busy you don't hear it. So the next night it was duller, and the next night it was is it, it's further again. It was very dull. It was like in the distance but still in my ear, and on and on and on and on. Then it disappeared, and then it came back. Then it disappeared, then it came back, but it could come back as dull, come back as dull, come back as, it's much duller than before. And then after a few months, I want to say April, May, from that time of January divorcing it, it completely disappeared. I will say it came back last week, very dull, but I haven't had it since last week. So I believe that I'm fully delivered from tinnitus, because for 2 years it was a buzzing in my ear every night, and I've basically spent the year without a buzz in my ear. I believe that that is a Jehovah Rapha again, who has healed me completely and totally. So that's my second testimony. My third testimony is that my third testimony is that. Again, in terms of the divorce, what happened is I had registered. There's a kind of a special company I was registering, and I'd made the application in the year 2023, November. So I made the application. I expected the company to be registered by January, February. But instead, it's a special kind of company that has to pass through our National Intelligence Services here in Kenya. It's not just a normal company that's registered within 7 days, within 4 days. So I made the application, but I'd prayed over it. I'd actually, to be honest, I told God, please be the first director, the first shareholder of this company, because I was actually doing it as a. It's a company that was going to be used by residents associations in the city of Nairobi, and so many of them were waiting on it. So I said, look, I'm gonna take it up. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna pay for it. I'm gonna register it. So I made the application, prayed over it, prayed over it, and then waited for the 3 4 months, only for it to be rejected by the government on the 15th of February 2024. By the National Intelligence Service. So it has to pass through there before it goes to the Registrar of Companies, who gives us a certificate of incorporation. So once it was rejected, I was quite shocked. And I thought, wait, I've been praying for this, we've been waiting for this. But then I remembered, in the middle of me waiting for this company, I had a dream. And in this dream, though, it was a building, and it focused in on a room. In that room, it was like a secret room. There was a snake on a shelf on top of files, and another desk with a huge snake, huge snake, huge, sitting on top of files on a desk. At that time, I guess I didn't connect the two and the two, maybe. But then I realized that this was probably why this had been stuck. I embarked on prayer and fasting. I never even told the people who was registering the company for that it had been rejected. I also felt blamed by them. They kept asking me, why is there a delay? We shouldn't have gone with, your suggestion of how you wanted to do things. And yet I felt I was doing them a favor. Not I felt, I was doing them a favor. I was trying to help them. So I said, I'm just going to stand in faith. I'm not going to tell them it was rejected. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. And I began to even avoid the weekly meetings that we were having. I was just focusing on praying and fasting. Maybe that was stupid or crazy, I don't know. But I just said, I'm just going to focus on that. 10 months go by, and here we are at the MOP fast in January 2025. So because we were being taught to divorce and to do the repayment, what I did is I printed out the rejection letter from the National Intelligence Service. I divorced it. And I demanded a sevenfold repayment of a registered company. The fast comes and goes, nothing. MOP had told us, swing again. I divorced it, nothing. So come February, there's something called the Hallelujah Challenge. It's started by a Nigerian singer called Nathaniel Bassey. And it runs for 21 days. People normally do prayer and fasting. You wake up at midnight and you do 1 hour of prayer and fasting. I think it's based on the book when the disciples were in jail and they sang at midnight and their chains fell off and all the prisoners' chains fell off. So I decided I was going to swing again during the Hallelujah Challenge, amongst other things that I was divorcing, and divorce that specific thing. So I divorced it again during the Hallelujah Challenge. And then what I did is during that challenge, there's something called Dress Your Miracle. Maybe it looks very stupid to the people on the outside, but once you've done a lot of praying and fasting, you dress your miracle. For those who want to be brides, you can wear a veil. For mine, my miracle was printing out, sort of fake certificate of incorporation with the name of the company I was registering, with the name, with a registration number on it, and I'd put the date as end of February and all of that, and I printed it out, and I prayed with it throughout the prayer and fasting. Another thing I believe the Holy Spirit led me to do on top of that is that there were some two proposed directors in that company who God gave me a dream that they were against me. So what I did is after divorcing the rejection letter, I broke the covenant they had made between themselves that I should never be able to register this company. I was led to do that. The Hallelujah Challenge comes and goes, nothing. But a month later, another director in this company calls me and says, look, I've met someone higher up at NIS. He says he can help us. So the guy goes, because he's higher up, goes, gets the file of the thing that I've been waiting for. Now it's 1 year something months, and says, oh, there's a proposed director here who's being investigated by the Directorate of Criminal Investigations, and so they can't allow you to register the company as long as she's on there. So I'm asking you to remove her name, get every director to sign, and there were many directors, resubmit the document, and I'll process it through for you. Because they're not allowed to give us that classified information, but because he's higher up, he was able to get that file. Also, when a company has been rejected, they don't, you can appeal, but usually they don't apparently, grant the appeal. It's very rare. So I submitted everything, I resubmitted everything, and you guys, within 1 week, the guy had approved it, passed it on to the Registrar of Companies. I had a certificate of incorporation after 1 year and 5 months of praying, fasting. And I believe that once I divorced it and broke whatever covenants were there, et cetera, however the Holy Spirit led me, I believe now God stepped in and introduced this director to someone higher up there who was able to get a file that had been rejected and tell us what to do. And now it was registered. So I thank God that, how do you call it, that nightmare, it was over. I thank God that that nightmare was over and I got a registered company. And I believe it's the divorcing and then the breaking of the covenant that two people had made against me that only the Holy Spirit could lead me to know by giving me a dream. that I was able to break the covenant they made against me, and then also divorce the rejection letter. And that combination is what assisted me. And then the last one, and I'm glad my sister is here, is that the last testimony is that my father collapsed last year in October 2024, sort of seemingly out of nowhere. Of course, there's some things that had been happening, but seemingly out of nowhere, and maybe I'll explain. So he collapsed. I just gotten home, and you know, my brother and my mom called me, and they're calling me from the car to hurry up. My dad's just collapsed, and so my sister dashed from her house to our house. We drove my dad to the hospital. He was admitted to the ICU. He was unconscious. Whereas he had had low blood pressure, for some reason, his blood pressure had shot up too high, very acutely and dramatically, and that caused him to collapse. And so now he was unconscious and he was in ICU. So what we did, of course, it had found me already in the middle of prayer and fasting. We had finished Rosh Hashanah. I'd made my prayers. I'd asked God to protect my family for this year, to allow us to see the year 5786, the year 2025. And we now started to take communion before we entered into his, you know, entered into the ICU. So we'd take communion. We'd pray over him. We were praying and fasting. And my dad woke up after 2 days. Then he was in HDU for 1 day, and then he was in the general ward just for 4 days. And the doctors did every test upon him, couldn't find the reason why that would happen, were baffled, and released him. And later on, we found out that one of our relatives, and I can say this, my sister is here, but one of our relatives, she, I guess she had gone to a sorcerer, a sorceress, who had instructed her to sacrifice the patriarch of the family. My dad is the only son remaining. So that means he's a father. In African culture, he's the father of everyone, the extended family. And therefore, this evil priest, sorceress, sorcerer had told them basically to sacrifice my father so that they could get wealth, the kind of wealth they were looking for, because they already have money. So I don't know what more wealth there is. The only reason we found that out, because we had been praying, and her sister fell out with her and decided to confess everything that they were doing, right? So the witch decided to tell on the other witch and called my cousin, who called us in shock, because my cousin had been praying also about this particular relative. And I guess we knew, because every test came out negative. There was nothing the doctors could keep him there, you know, for. And I guess maybe those in the West maybe would not understand, but people do that kind of thing here, sacrificing a human being to get wealth. You know, making agreements with the soil or the ground or the sun to do this kind of thing. So God did it. He delivered my father from being sacrificed. He delivered him from premature death. It's the doctors would say, well, these things happened, but it's not that these things happened. It was a spiritual attack. We prayed and he was delivered from it. So I want to thank God for... I mean, it's been spiritual warfare, but I just want to thank God for everything that he has done. He has heard every single prayer that we have been praying. He has been a healer, not just of me, but he has healed my father. He healed and delivered my father from whatever they had sent against him that would cause him to collapse. And instead of having low blood pressure, collapsing because of low blood pressure, he collapsed because of high blood pressure. And I'd like to just thank God for that, and also for vindicating me when it came to registration of the company, where everyone was, you know, blaming me. Yet it turns out I wasn't to blame for the delay in the registration of the company. They ended up kicking me out of the WhatsApp group recently for that company thing, but it's okay because what I'd prayed to God, he answered. So I just want to thank you, Nicole, for giving us this platform. I hope this encourages everyone to just continue to swing again, divorce what you need to divorce, continue to pray, continue to press on. There's a we're working with the God of miracles. So thank you so much.
This is such an incredible testimony. God is good. Okay, Lavorne, your turn now.
Okay. So I work in a school. I'm a school social worker, and part of my job is an attendance counselor. So I also have to make sure kids are attending school. And there was a student. There's two brothers that I've been working with. One of them, both of them are, they're both from very abusive homes. And the younger one called Child Protection Services on his father, and the dad ended up pulling him out of school. And they had to do an investigation, but we lost connection with him. The older brother was able to escape from the house and went to live with grandma. Grandma has custody of these two boys, but she's deathly afraid of her son. He's been in jail. He's like, there's reason she's afraid. And so she's, even though she has custody of these boys, she didn't walk in that authority for fear of her son hurting her, and her husband. So these two boys had been through a lot. So in January of this year, the younger boy was taken, and dad decided to homeschool him. Me and my boss, we fought, we tried our best to advocate that this was not healthy, but nothing happened. So the older brother, he also stopped going to school because he got charged for something. And so I ended up meeting with this the older brother. I'm the 16-year-old brother. I started meeting with him in at the mall because he wasn't allowed to go back to school because he had done something at school. So I started meeting with this boy in the mall. And we would meet once a week. And of course, I'm praying for both of these boys. I've been praying for both of these boys since January. And I started meeting with the older boy. And you know, he was very, very adamant that he's an atheist. Like he would just constantly talk about he doesn't believe in God and you know, whatever. And you know, as a social worker and as a woman of faith, I of course I'm always praying, I'm fasting for these kids. And I also have to be very careful how I show up at the school because I work in a public school, and where I'm located in Canada, like they, the like, yeah, it's you can't really talk about your faith. So I've had to be strategic, but I just kept praying for this boy. And so he said he really enjoyed meeting with me, and every now and then I would throw proverbs in. You know, of course he doesn't know it's from the Bible, so I would throw in all kinds of sayings and stuff, and he'd be like, wow, that's so amazing. And you know, one time he came to our session upset because he was in a mall, he was in the mall, and Christians started sharing their faith. And that's one of the things I would pray for both of these brothers, that they would be saved, but I also prayed, you know, that people would the divine helpers would come. And so one day this time we're at the library, and we're talking, and he's sharing how he got so upset because he said, you know, there's these Christians in the mall and they're sharing their faith with me. And he was so annoyed. But it's funny because every time this kid would talk about God or Christians, like on the surface, it sounded like he was annoyed, but I could discern something underneath. To me, it sounded like frustration. Obviously, I knew that he said he didn't believe in God because of the abuse at home. Like I know for him, it was a coping mechanism. Like he, in his mind, he can't believe that there's a God because of what he suffered. So I always felt such grace and compassion. And so he would talk about how he'd get into these debates at the mall with these Christians. And so I would say to him, I'm like, okay, you're atheist. Like, so, okay, so why are you engaging them then? Like, just keep it moving, right? He's like, well, you know, these Christians talk about. So he starts repeating everything these people are saying, and like word for word. And it's almost like he's sharing his faith with me, even though he rejects that. So I just kept praying, and I actually had prayer. I actually had people start praying for him. And so we kept meeting, and then a couple weeks ago now, something happened with his brother. His brother finally got back in school. The dad told the family, told the grandma, he didn't want any of the kids to talk to me because obviously, yeah, he doesn't like me. He doesn't want me to be around his kids. So that's part of the reason why he took out the younger brother. But the older brother, because he wasn't living with the dad, he had the choice to kind of still see me. And so both boys now are back at high school. They're a year apart. And a couple weeks ago, or last week, yeah, I think it was last week, we're sitting there talking and something really bad had happened. The dad had done something really, really violent to the grandparents. And so we were talking about that, and I was trying to help him work through how to handle that. And so we're getting ready to leave now and end our session. And he says, he just looks at me. He's like, Lavorne, I'm reading the Bible at night before bed. So I'm like, pardon? He's like, yeah, I'm reading the Bible before bed. So of course I like my inner being is jumping because I'm like, what is going on? Right. So on the outside, I'm like, okay, so how did this come about? He's like, well, you know, my girlfriend, who's also an atheist, you know, she found a Bible on the ground at school. And then she gave it to me because she's like, I don't want anything to do with this. And so then she gave it to me and she said, you should start with the Book of Romans. And so he's like, I started with the Book of Romans, but I don't understand it. And he's like, but I read before bed because it helps me sleep. And so I'm like, what? So then I said to him, I said, oh, I said, that's amazing. And so I said to him, I said, well, and I took a risk. I said it anyway, but I just said, I read the Bible too. He's like, you do? And I said, yes. And he's like, okay. And so I said, why don't you start with the Book of Proverbs? Because there's been Proverbs, I've shared Proverbs with you and you seem to resonate with it. So he was like, okay, I can do that. And I said, okay, right? And so, yeah, so I was just blown away. I couldn't believe it. And then his brother coming back into the school was also answered prayer. God gave me dreams, so I knew he was coming back. But seeing him back in the school, I got to see him face to face. His dad is now in jail. He's been charged with aggravated assault. So both boys are back in the building. And last week, a week later, I met up with this kid. And again, I don't initiate God talk or talk about Jesus unless if the kids do it, then it's fair game. I'm not obviously going in there sharing my faith with these kids, but if they bring it up, then I'm gonna jump on the wagon. So he last week I didn't say anything. We sat down and he says, Lavorne, I've been reading the Book of Proverbs. I said, I'm so happy. He's like, yeah. And then he goes, but you know what? I fell asleep with the Bible in my hand. And he goes, and I woke up and the Bible was in my hand. And like the way he was saying it, you could tell he's having it like an experience, right? But he can't put like words to it. So I just want to give God glory because these two boys have had quite a devastating life. And the older brother, especially, the way he would go on about being atheist, and now he's and even just how he got the Bible, because I prayed, I said, God, I wish I could just give this kid a Bible, but I know I couldn't. But I'm just amazed how God even used this girl who's also so-called atheist, and how they just happened to find a Bible on the ground. It was just amazing. So I just give God thanks because I am so blown away by how he is visiting these children in these public schools and how he is making himself known and how he does it like just in miraculous ways and even simple ways that I would never have thought. So yes, that's my testimony.
I just thank God for you that you're there and that He put you there for that. That is what warms my heart. Don't you see that? I don't think any of our jobs are just jobs. I think the Lord puts us in places where we serve Him in whatever capacity He's calling us to serve Him. And you are there You are there, and that is actually your mission. The social work is just the side job.
Yes, yes, I agree. Yep, it is.
That's the real job, right? That's what God's doing with you there. I love it. I love it. I love it. God, you are awesome. I thank you for all of these stories, for all the testimonies, for all the things that you're doing in our lives every single day, and how you've shown up in so many different ways, touching lives and hearts. In these testimonies, what I hear is the accidental answered prayer. It's that one that you needed at the last minute that you didn't even pray, but he read your heart when you got your stuff back in the airport bathroom. That's like God saying, you need this and I'm going to do this for you, even though you didn't ask me, you know. And then you hear the rest of the answers to the prayers of the things that you wanted, that you prayed for a long time and waited for. And then the answers to the prayers of you just being in the right place at the right time to help someone, and he answers. And I love that. And God, we just ask that you do more of that again and again and again for all of us, that you show up in different ways at different times when we need you, and you make your presence known, and how you are able to reach us in such unique ways of an atheist finding a Bible. And we just glorify you for it, Lord. And we're looking forward to doing this for the whole week, God. Send more, give us more. We already have them, so we're just broadcasting them for everybody to hear. Lord, we thank you, we honor you, we love you over this period of Sukkot. We remember what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Sure, you could all listen to this forever. Didn't that 1 hour go fast? Tell me that didn't Amen. Go by fast. It went super
yeah.
fast.
It okay. went super fast.
Yeah.
This is what happened when you're talking about great things that God has done. It goes real quickly. Yeah. So for those of you that came on just to hear what we were doing, to see what this was about, just email me. And even if you shared already and something else comes to you, send me an email. Let me put you on the schedule for the rest of the week. We've got a whole week.
Yes.
All right. Be blessed. And I will hear you guys tomorrow.
Thank you. And you too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Blessings.
Blessings.